Log Talk Radio. My favorite. I just say just thank you for signing on. Hi Marianne, how's everything? Marcus A. Treadwell, how you doing? Pastor here, Washington, how? I gotta shout out everybody. How? They said I got Indian in my family, so I think that's probably the part that came out. So, guys, we are talking today on Grindology about creating a one-page business plan. It is an important element to starting a business for any entrepreneur. Like, you know, before you start doing, like, that 50-page business plan with the executive summary and the budget and all the intricate details of a traditional business plan, it will be good to start off with an outline. A summary of your business. And that's what we're doing today. We're not just talking about this thing, guys. We're actually executing it. Like, this is one of the key elements of Grindelology. This is one of the major, major missions of Grindel, is to be able to get information and resources into you guys' hands so that you can effectively execute. Not everybody knows. Like, we have some highly intelligent business entrepreneurs out here. But then I'm also wanting to talk to the ones that, like, we don't have a clue. Like, you know, we're trying to figure out how to get this whole thing up without making it so stressful. Starting a business can be a little stressful, but sometimes there are simplistic ways for us to be able to communicate. I like saying simplistic. Simplistic ways for us to be able to execute our business, guys. It is what it is. So the first area that we touched on was problems. What problem will your business solve? Every good business plan has to have a problem. Every good business has a problem that you are attempting to solve. I don't care how minute it is. You could be a jewelry maker. You're still solving a problem for somebody. You can make barrettes. You're still solving a problem. So you have to identify what that problem is. The second area is solution. How will your business solve this particular problem? Now that you understand what the problem is, how will your specific business solve this problem? And then the last area that we talked about before the break is the market. Who are your potential customers? Who are these people? You know, where are they? You know, identify those particular individuals. You know, sometimes you can visualize what your customer is. I was just talking this morning to one of my clients, Ms. Gloria Johnson. Hi, Ms. Gloria. She just established her 501c3. And one of the things that I've identified with Ms. Gloria is the fact that she's a fully startup organization. That means that she's starting from the grassroots of the whole thing. She's starting from square one. And one of the things we had the conversation 7 o'clock this morning about was, what's the next step? She's like, okay, Lissette, I have my 501c3. It's here. You did it. I got it quickly. I'm here, and I got everything ready. Now what? You know, and one of the things when you're solving a particular problem, you have to understand that your market relies upon you for this particular information. They rely upon you to be that source. So when she said that, I was like, wow, you know, like, I have to be able to structure this specifically, my business specifically for that type of customer. And I told her, I said, you are the epitome of the customer that I'm called to serve. So in that, and knowing that, how am I going to be able to provide the information that's going to take her from point A in her organization all the way to having a successful operating an active nonprofit organization? It's a very serious matter. Like, you don't take it for granted. Anyone that you're actually called to serve, you have to take your customer serious. You have to know who your market is. You have to identify, and I'm really honing in on this right now, but you have to identify what type of knowledge do they have about your particular product, you know, that you're selling or service that you're giving. What do they know? Sometimes you have to treat the situation as if they don't know anything about it so that you can be able to effectively create the plan or the process necessary to assist them. So whether it's identifying content or whether it's, you know, still giving an individual who loves soul food but has diabetes or who has health concerns, you know, the same type of food with less salt. You know, it's just those type of things. You have to know who your customer is, and you have to identify that in order to really hone into how you create your business.
So you're saying it wouldn't be a good idea to start a business without first identifying the needs?
Absolutely. You got to identify needs.
So I got this great business idea, but I don't know who needs it. That's not a good move.
No.
Okay. No, because that's what people do. You have
honest to God truth. Everybody has a good idea, but if you don't know who needs your idea, you might need to reconsider that. Now, in tech world, because, guys, I'm techie. My background is information technology. That's what I do on my regular 9-to-5 and, and troubleshoot systems. And I'm a systems analyst. So, basically, what happens is when people come in and they're starting a business, whether it's a tech startup or whatever, they always ask you to identify the MVP, the minimum viable product. So that means that what is it that, what is the minimum thing that you can do to operate your business? What is the minimum thing that you need? So, like, in that, you can test it. Once you create the minimum viable product, then you can test it to the individuals that you feel like are your target customers and see if that's what they need, So sometimes you have to test it, guys. You have to test these ideas. If you really are passionate about it and you really feel like this is the idea that you're called to do or the business that you're called to start up, put the minimum to a test. The minimum, meaning you don't have to go out here and take out a huge business loan. You don't have to run up your credit cards to do it. What is the minimum that you can do to get that business started? This is the reason why identifying this one-page business plan for you to identify the minimum of what this business idea is, not to make it grandiose and create this huge, extravagant business in your mind without the ability to execute it. So I mean, it really makes a difference.
We see the same thing in churches. People start ministries sometimes without recognizing that there's no need. Like, for instance, it's like if there's a food pantry at the church down the street, is there really a need for you to have a food pantry? Why not partner with somebody versus, two people trying to recreate the wheel at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
So you do see that same thing. You see people creating. It's nothing wrong. And people, and I think there's a thirst for people wanting to have their own business. I think that's what it is sometimes.
It is. And because it's really trendy now.
It's trendy.
I call it trendy.
It's trendy to have your own.
It's really trendy. It's one of those things now. Everybody's a tech startup. Everybody's doing an app. Everybody wants to be independent. Like, from
I'm so bad everybody ain't doing
it.
They trying to. But they ain't really they sitting at home like this.
But definitely, guys, it is important. And just like Dr. Dana said, there is some, validity into communicating about multiple things and collaborating. It is. It's understandable that, you have people out here that could easily well partner. But for me, in certain times when it comes to entrepreneurship, there might be something that you have to do, even though it might be within the same industry, because, like, how many hospitals do we have? How many clothing stores do we have? How many, television, radio, entertainment, things are so saturated, but what separates you from everybody else is what you specifically bring and who you specifically are called to serve. That's just, pretty much it. But when it comes to certain things, next month we're going to get into, the whole nonprofit sector right now. Right now they're really honing in on small businesses, even though, with Grindology, we cover every aspect. We cover careers, we cover nonprofit organizations, social enterprises, small businesses. We cover all this. But this particular month we have been talking so much about business. So, I mean, for me, it is important for any type of organization, whether it's a small business or whether it's a nonprofit organization, to identify the need. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Pastor Dana. Like Pastor Dana said. Reverend Dr. Dana. like he said.
I go by Pope.
You go Pope?
Yeah, I'm shooting for Pope.
I know. I tried for pastor
a couple of times. It didn't work out.
That.
But I figured I was shooting too much.
I mean, I think
you're
going to get
so Pope.
I think it's
going to
work.
We ain't ever had a black one, right?
We had a black Pope.
Well, we had a black Pope. Y'all stop lying.
Oh,
we got a
22nd Street,
6th floor. I ain't
talking
about.
Not white
Pope. No. Pope was. I ain't talking about white Pope. I said Pope. P-O-P-E.
No, we didn't know white Pope.
P-O-P-E.
See, let me just let you know.
Yeah.
The Chicago ones in here. You know you are really from Chicago when people start saying white pork and Kool-Aid. Like that, it doesn't get no more ratchet than that. Somebody just dropped off and said white pork and Kool-Aid. That was convicting.
That's what they had.
Like, somebody see me.
Boy, they went to go get it.
What is your goal? How much are you looking to make overall? You know, like give yourself an annual amount. How much are you looking to make within a year, given this particular service or product? From there, sometimes you can start from there and work your way back. So, say for instance, if I'm trying to make $100,000 this year off of my services, and I do resumes, then you know that, okay, within that, I have to, how many resumes do I have to do in order to reach $100,000 for the year? How many do I have to do to be able to take that $100,000, guys, divide that by 12. That'll let you know how many you know, how much you got to make within that particular, you know, month, every month. Then divide it by 30. That'll let you know how many, you know, resumes you got to do each day, you know. And then from there, identify how many resumes would you be able to do within that one particular day over the whole, what, if you want to work 9 to 5, 8 hours, if you want to work 4 hours, how many resumes can you actually do in an hour? If you can do 1 hour, 8, you know, hours, I'm trying to do math, guys, off the top of my head, I'm not good at that. But at the end of the day, you have the formula. You'll know and basically identify what your price point is. You have to look at the bigger picture. Your whatever your goal is to make within that year. And I'm not saying it's far-fetched. If you say, hey, I want to make $500,000, it seems like you're going to have to really charge for your services. Or you're going to have to crank out a lot of services, or you're going to have to sell a lot of products to make it. But then that is the perfect segue of saying, how will you advertise this business? You know, how will you market it? You know, to be able to make that $500,000 in 1 year. How are you going to market it? Are you going to do it on Facebook? Are you going to post ads? Are you going to, you know, put up flyers at the grocery store? I used to do that a long time ago. Like when I used to actually do resumes and writing services, I used to print, like you've seen it all the time. That's the most free form of advertising. I used to print a flyer with the little leaflet cut up at the end and post it at the grocery store in English and Spanish.
Like people looking for dog sitters?
Yeah. Like, or, you know, like dog getting cooked. I got customers that way. Like people were walking past and they looked at that, you know, saturated bulletin board and they was like, oh yeah, I need to check out my resume. And they were snatching and I would get calls, guys. I mean, like what do you actually do? How will you advertise your business? That's important. Once you identify what's your pricing, then you identify how would you advertise your business. Now let's talk about the startup cost. How much is it going to cost you to even get started? Some people think that it might take a lot to get started. Like some people think that, you know, you have to have googles of money to get your business started. And in certain cases, depending on what your business is, I totally agree. You will have to, you know, sometimes you will have to dish it out. If you're trying to have a tech startup or trying to have a software business, yeah, it's going to take some seed and some capital funding going on, at, you know, at the end of the day. But, and, you know, for the most part, what is that? What do you need? If you're starting a catering business like Miss Felicia, what do you need? You know, you need pans, you need seasonings,
menu.
You need your menu,
salt pork.
You need the salt pork, yeah.
You just don't get repeat.
You need all that. You need all that. Oh, that's true. You can't put a price on peace. You sure can't. You sure can't, but you can put a number on that on the craziness, like for the pain. You can put a price on the pain. You can put a price on the pain, Miss Felicia. You can, because, I mean, to execute, it takes work, it takes labor, especially when you're transitioning. Like, if you're a transitioning entrepreneur, like, you're going from your 9-to-5 into your actual business, that's a pain point. Like, you know, when I do 501c3 services, like, I literally do it on the spot. I don't collect all the information. I go right to where you are, and I complete it. And, yeah, maybe it's after 5 o'clock when I do it. Like, I'm driving to your house or I'm driving to your place of business, and I'm cranking it out there. Why, guys? Because, like, I don't want to sit and have a lot of things hovering. Because when you're in transition as an entrepreneur, you have to do what you need to do to get your business done and then still support and pay the bills at the end of the day. So you have to identify what do you need to get started.
Okay.
Not all the extravagant stuff, because we like to shop. We like when we think about certain things, like, oh, my God, when I used to do, when I used to do vending for Job Grind, I wanted, like, I had this whole layout of what I wanted. I wanted the backdrop to be, like, 12 by 12. I wanted to have, like, interactive stands, so for people that wanted to sign up, they just go onto the tablet and do interactive stands. What else did I want, babe? I wanted the monitor.
A smoke machine.
The monitor. I wanted the you know, those really big interactive monitors. I wanted that.
Oh,
and then I'm like, at the end of the day, like, I remember the total. It was almost, like, almost $8,000 for all of it. I don't know where I was getting it, guys. I don't know where I was getting that money.
When we went to the National Restaurant Association thing, we walked past, I'm trying to think, it was a company. It's a company that I can't think of the name of the company. It's not Hire. It was a company. They do, like, they make sure stuff is, like, clean and disinfected. They work with restaurants. They're all about, like, you know, handling the cleaning stuff. Well, they had a huge kiosk set up, like a news
major
desk. Major. Set up like a news desk. And I walked past and I was like, it's on time. I said, that's it right there. That's it right there. Like, let's go pack up some stuff.
Because
it looked like a news desk, and they had a huge backdrop that was like from that wall to that corner.
Oh my God.
And the desk went from that to there, and it was like, you know, like, come on in to the weather, man.
Isn't it funny how God give you a glimpse of
something? Man.
And be messing your whole soul
I
up about it.
They were talking about nothing I wanted to get.
Right. They were talking about aluminum siding.
No, what they were talking about. Understood that.
I mean, that is so crazy. But, I mean, when it comes to this plan, guys, it's just important to be able to you know, keep your startup costs simple and as minimum as possible with the type of funds that you have. That, I mean, that's just basically it. You have to keep it simple and deal with what it is that you can really get this thing operating off the ground. Not extravagant, not to where you see it 25 years from now. Because one of the things with entrepreneurs, when we have that vision, we see that vision from where we know that it's at that point. You know, you see where you have an idea, because you really don't know what your end result is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that idea, like, it's going to look like this. It's going to be, a 12-room studio with multiple, you know, sounding boards and all that other good stuff. You see it at the end of the day. But right now, what are we going to use to get started? You know, at that particular time, what was it, Dr. Daniel? Was it a keyboard?
I tell people all the time, I was blessed, because most of the stuff, we had everything we needed to start up. Like, startup completely cost us nothing.
That is truly a blessing.
Startup cost us nothing. Because the only thing we had to pay was Blog Talk.
Yeah.
Like, everything else we had. Like,
that's,
I had
amazing.
Stuff was in my basement, or somebody had it. And then, like, I think minimally, like, it may have cost us $200. If that. And that was just going to get, and then the money didn't start getting spent until after we realized we sounded like trash. And then when everybody sounded like, Like, okay. So yeah, we said we need to invest in some mics and then I went and got like computers we had. I had them. My job just had given donated a bunch of computers, so we had them. But we maxed them out as best as they could do, and then one of them died on us like right when we was like getting ready to get on the air. And that day I was like, it'll never happen again. I literally went right to the Dell website and bought that one over there. And then I was like, that's great, but I want something else. And I went out to Fry's and said, build me one.
Yeah.
I went and picked out the case. I said, build me one. And I put it, the fastest everything in here, put it in there. Just put it in there for me.
They will come.
And I did it. And it was cheap, but that was cheaper than going. Cause I could have went back to hell. But I said, I want the best of everything that's currently in your store right now. And they built the thing, and yeah, so I probably could hack into something with that. So I'm using it for doing this stuff, and it's probably built for something
server.
Else.
And I think that really is key. Yeah. Like you do, like, which is one of the main reasons, guys, to have a one page business plan.
Yeah.
That is one of the major reasons why we should have a one page business plan. We want to be able to start small, you know, and start practical, you know, not put it all way over the top where you financially will not be able to sustain your business 1 year. You have to make it to the point where what we call it lean, operate in the lean, operate with just the bare minimum. Use what you got to get what you need.
Sister Felicia said, she says, I almost cried. She says, I went back to my former church and somebody asked her, was she still catering? People are waiting on you to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, directive operations.
That's what it was,
okay.
Directive operations.
Yeah. There are people who, you have stuff and there is a need for it. Like, even though as many caterers as there are, there's still a need for good caterers.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got a bunch of folks who cater that.
I know some people who really do their thing, and then I have some that are putting glory greens out of a can into
a
pan.
Okay, yeah.
So when it comes to where you like, you can see the passion. You can see the passion. He's over here throwing up, guys. You can see the passion behind, and I'm not knocking everybody who's doing it, but you know, you can see the passion behind people who are called to do what they're called to do. I stand on it. Like, you don't do anything that you're not called to do. Because if you do it just for money, it's going to eventually, you know, lose its momentum. And then what do you have to fall back on when everything is not going right? I was saying, and I'm going to use you as an example. One of the things that Mike always does, he loves cooking. He loves it. It's his passion. So one of the things he always does is, like, when he cuts up stuff and he has that particular bell pepper onion smell on his hand, he'll come to me and he'll, like, yeah, babe, smell that. And I'll be like, it smells like bell peppers and onions. And he's like, it's a plethora of, you know, like, flavor and intent. He can go somewhere and I'll eat a piece of chicken. And I'll be like, okay, it was fried. I taste the pepper. So he will let me know that there's garlic salt, paprika, this, that. He eats it. And when he eats a specific type of food, if it's good, his eyes roll in the back of his head. Like, so when I know that he has a passion for food, because it's the little thing. He'll see them raw meat and then, like, want me to smell it. And I'll be like, that's raw meat. It's like, you know, you might have eat cola and seasoning salt or something on your hands, and he's like, smell that. And I'm like, you know, like, ooh, that smells good. But for him, it's like,
my meat smells good.
It's like,
sounds all good now.
It does.
But that lets you know that he has a passion for what he does. Like, Miss Felicia, you have a passion for what you do when it comes to catering. Like you said, when you wake up, it's like you're tired when you go to that 9 to 5, but when you got that catering gig, it's like you in your groove now. You know, you putting on that music,
that's
and now
right.
you laying all the dishes out. And most individuals who are like food driven, food passionate individuals, it's all about presentation for now.
I would love to know what, and it's going to be a different show at some point, but I would love to know what happens to the people who don't follow. Like, people who have that amazing gift, but they just don't want to go into that, you know, don't want to do it. Like, there are like some amazing cooks who could probably like take over the market in certain areas,
yeah.
But they have no desire to want to do a business. You know, and that's,
I want to say they fall off.
I don't know, because I have for years tried to get my mom to cater,
mm-hmm.
But she does stuff for individuals.
Some people are priceless. Some things are priceless.
And she does it for, like, literally, there's like two families that she cooks for every Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And she like it's like full Thanksgiving with all the trimmings. And then she does, you know, people will call her to do events, and she'll say yes to this one, no to this one. Yes, and it's like, and I for years said, look here, let's get you a van and some stuff, and you just cook, I do the rest. Just, you know, but she has no, wants no part of it.
I think for some, you know, and it's a certain age too.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the way I feel about it, Dr. Dana. When it mm-hmm. comes to certain individuals, some people are so difficult that you make me not want to do what
mm-hmm.
I do. When I used to do taxes, I still do taxes,
maybe,
but
I don't want
to
do it.
I have specific people that I do taxes for. I don't even advertise that service. You have to come like in the, you know, behind the scenes and know somebody that refers me, because it was always a difficult process of dealing with individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, especially when it comes to taxes. I don't know, some people be wanting to put their dog on there with a social security number and all kinds of extra stuff.
Like
that. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, for me, it's like, okay. So when things start taking the, like, from, and I understand, like, there's a thin line between operating your gift and then at the same time doing it to the point that it takes the joy out of
mm-hmm.
what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just do things because they love to do it. You know, they don't even want to make any money off of it. It just makes them happy to be able to do what they are called to do. And then there are people who want to make a living off of it. A gift is a gift,
mm-hmm.
you know. Whether or not it, I mean, you know, it still bears the same type of fruit if you operate in it. But if you don't do anything,
mm-hmm.
see, because mom's still cooking. She cooks for the one she chooses to cook
right,
for.
Right.
So she's premium and elite. That means that, you know, some you
yeah.
can't get, you
yeah.
know, I can't go and get Oprah Chef.
I think for me, though, because I'm my business brain kicked in. I'm trying to remember where we were. We were somewhere, and somebody asked her. She had did somebody's function, and somebody at the function said, could you cater our event? And it was for like 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I can't do that. And in my head, no, you can't do it now, but if you had your stuff up and running, you could have got that money. I'm like, look,
we could have been on point.
My soul, they stole. Come on.
Right.
But it's just not, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, in certain times, sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know, to certain people. When you identify, okay, I got to cook. You know, for me, the scary part was for me to have to come from behind the scenes and come to the front,
yeah.
You know. And now, as I'm starting to get calls, as
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see numbers grow,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, God, you know.
I would love to know, especially because you were talking about restaurants, and I know there's a big issue with restaurants. Like, most restaurants, you know, they don't make any money the first few years.
No.
They just don't. You lucky
no.
break even, if anything.
No.
That's
true.
They don't.
That's true.
Oh, I'm just saying,
but that's
the business model that most restaurants, sometimes I've heard almost as much as 5 years. If you can make it past that 3-year mark, you might survive.
Yeah.
But they don't make any money, because especially when you have to pour so much in to start up, But I would want to know from, and at some point, I'm sure we do have some restaurant tours on here to talk about people who started up restaurants.
Yeah.
Was there, how do they not lose the authenticity of the food? How do you not, you know what I'm saying? I would love to know, how do you, you know, it's one thing when you're cooking for 10 or 20. It's completely different when you're cooking for 200.
Oh, my God. And you are so right.
That's all I
can say. I know on a personal level, I know.
No,
but I'm trying to see from a restaurant expense side, because they ain't using a lot of restaurants.
That's the truth. And then, guys, here we go. Like, now we're about to start talking about people, right?
I'm sorry.
Because there are certain people, here's the thing. I had, we have a bakery that we go to. They are in Gary, Indiana. Her name is Miss Pat. She is the sweetest lady you ever want to meet. Gary, Indiana. The name of her cookies and her baked goods, and she cook, guys, is Heaven Sent Bakery. And I'm telling you, like, everybody want to claim they can make lunchroom cookies, but I ain't never had a lunchroom cookie that when I bite into it, I feel like I'm back at O'Keefe Elementary on 69th. Like, it's
wow.
Like, and for me, I was a fan of peanut butter cookies. Like, you know, I like the peanut butter cookies because they were chewy. And every time you now go to any restaurant, they have lunchroom cookies, they have peanut butter cookies. They never have. She has that. She has these, like, Long Johns, guys, and these apple fritters about as big as this paper right here. And when you bite into it, it, like, float. It's like you biting a cloud. I'm telling you, Heaven Sent Bakery, Gary, Indiana. I stand on that. It's worth the trip. Like, if I don't even cross past Indiana without stopping at Heaven Sent. But I was saying that to say, her baked goods are so, I mean, like my kids say, they're so slap. But when she had to now, she got a contract with Walgreens. And when she had the contract with Walgreens, I walked in one day and I seen the container with the Heaven Sent. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she in Walgreens. Gotta get it. I mean, her cookies ain't cheap. They were like $7 for the container. But when I bit into the cookie, I'm like, this ain't Heaven Sent. It's sent, but it's not Heaven Sent. And it's only because of the simple fact it's
scent. But not cold.
And it doesn't take the fact that you know that, okay, because now she has a high demand and it, you know, and she has to crank it out in large quantities to be able to meet that particular demand that she had with the contract she had with Walgreens. She had to, you know, meet the needs of baking the goods and being able to afford the packaging and everything else. So then some of the quality of the cookie shut down. So I was like, okay, I'm not buying them from Walgreens. I'm still going to Gary and get them. Because when I go in and walk into her store, I smell the cookie. She just pulled them out of the oven. So I'm like right there. But there's so much in being able to operate under a, you know, just in decency and in order and in excellence. Make sure that quality still stands. Just, I mean, that's a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. That is like really, really cool. But what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to start getting down to the last two areas of this business plan. If you guys don't have the business plan, go on Grindr right next to this post for this particular show. Create a one-page business plan. You get the template. Print out the template. And let's get some writing this thing out. So y'all can come to business and get some money. Like, so I know if I want to work, I love that. But I don't want to work for the rest of my life when it comes to this. I have to implement something that's going to make work. So we all can eat. I'm just saying, like, don't you want to be fallacious? Don't you want to carry your business to grow so that you can be able to take long term? We have to pray for the show. So we're going to be great.
Intermission.
Okay. What's the interlude?
That's in between the songs. It's a little like pause in between the song. It's like a little.
Oh, that's what
yeah,
interlude is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct me, you know, guys. I don't know, but I like the word interlude.
You like without further ado.
Yeah.
You missed that part. You know, when we spent 5 minutes on further ado.
That was so great.
I don't know what ado means, but without further ado.
And we are working on our one-page business plan. We're not just talking the talk. We are walking this walk. When we get through, guys, you're going to have a full-fledged business plan. You're going to have a summary. You're going to have some identity to this business idea. You're going to be able to communicate with people and tell them that I have a business by the name of Purpose Catering. I just had to call you out there, Felicia. Purpose Catering that is solving a particular problem because people love good food. So I'm solving that problem. People love good food. And the potential customer that I am called to solve with Purpose Catering is the individuals who love soul food. You know, I'm just guessing. I'm not sure. But people who love soul food, love quality soul food, not the stuff that I can, because, you know, for us, we can all just go and get, you know, some food or slap some greens together, but there's a quality about that food. There's something about Purpose Catering food that when I eat it, when I bite into them greens, I can taste the garlic, I can taste the seasoning, I can taste the turkey, because I like turkey meat in my greens, guys. I can't eat salt pork and all that stuff. But I like that. So there's a specific... I like those particular things. What am I charging? Felicia, what do you charge? What do you charge for a pan of greens, ma'am? What do you charge for a pan of greens
right, with
turkey tails?
And send some over here so we can
with
sound.
Cornbread, because for me, I like my greens loaded, guys. I don't know about y'all. I like all the mixture greens together. I want collards, mustard, and turnip all together. I want the turnip butt in it. I want turkey meat drenched in it. And then what I do is that I take it out, set pot, put it in a bowl, put the cornbread on it.
Come on, back up to the light.
Oh my God, guys, I'm getting better. God ain't through with me yet. So, like, what do you need to get started? How will you advertise? Felicia, how are you going to advertise your business? Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it? Are you, you know, is it just going to always be word of mouth? Or are you going to set up a Facebook page and start laying out them pans of greens and all of and that, she said, smoked turkey neck, laying it all out and taking pictures? Because, see, some people, this is the funny thing, just sidelining guys right now. Everybody on social media takes pictures of their food. Like, they food be the bomb. Like, presentation is the most. Like, sometimes I look at some people's plates, and I'm just trying to identify what's on the plate. I'm like, it looks like a collaboration of macaroni and cheese.
First of all, if you're putting taking a picture of your stuff on a paper plate, it should be blocked off Facebook. I just think putting your food on the paper plate and then taking pictures of it and putting it on Facebook, especially your Sunday dinner time. Look at my son. Look at the dinner I made for boo.
I feel like you should put it on a paper plate, guys, and put that little, that plastic covering paper plate holder thing on it. Put the paper plate holder thing on it. Not the wooden one.
You know what I just thought about, too? I got an idea for another show, for a small business show for you, too. I need you to get a snowball stand on this. I have a complaint for a snowball stand on this.
Why?
He wants to start a show just to complain.
I want you for small business on that.
Hey,
you need to do a show about proper way to set up a proper snowball stand.
Because
there's some janky snowball stands out here right now.
Janky.
Well, I believe you.
Like, if you ain't got no pumps on your
shoes. I was just about to say that.
That's a major no-no for me.
You sit up pointing in.
The lady at the kids store I went to tried to recycle the ice from the day before.
See, stop.
And didn't know such thing as an ice pick. I said, look, that ain't no good. You get your ice pick with that in your drink.
I'm done. She like.
Yeah, but no pumps is a... That's a big no for me.
Why?
That's just not.
Yana Bank said, what are proper snowball stands?
What are the proper
There's
snowball
stands? There's a snowball stand etiquette
There's
in
a,
Chicago.
First of all, let me help y'all with my first job.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Look here, I'm talking 1983, 82.
Oh.
I was 12.
Was that icy cup time?
Huh? No. Look here. Miss Flowers was the lady snowball thing. Miss Flowers had a first of all, she had an ice crusher. So we would go to the ice house and get them big blocks.
Yeah.
And then you had to ice pick it and then drop them pieces in there and make that snow. And then you pack that thing into a cooler. And then this is before they had all these big cups. We had the regular size snowball cups, the 25-cent cup. 50-cent cup,
man,
and 75-cent cup. But we had pumps. They had to be every night. They had to be rinsed out and ready to use the next day.
When snowball juice used to actually taste like snowball.
Well, she didn't water her stuff down. See, now because that juice is expensive, people pull half of it out and add water.
And it's just,
or they added Kool-Aid.
It did not taste that syrupy back in the day.
No, they had the real. See, when you have no pumps, that's a problem for me. And then, you know. I drove past the other day. I just told Tanya about this the other day.
It's
nothing like a good snowball when it's 92 degrees outside. It will
snowball.
Bless your change.
Give
your
me
life.
A lemon pina colada. That's me all day. Lemon and pina colada or pineapple and coconut. Either one of those. I don't like the blue raspberry and all that stuff. Lemon, pina colada.
It's not blue raspberry. See, you took proper. It's Sky Blue. It's a Sky Blue on my in red.
It's a color.
Yeah.
You know
I'm on blue,
red, and
green.
It's the color.
And they're going to talk about my
etiquette.
Without further ado.
What is that?
They're going to talk about my. It is blue raspberry.
It's blue.
People don't even know what they put in their next snowball. If you say yellow, it could be a whole nother different type of snowball.
Yellow.
Second yellow.
I want the lemon yellow.
Right. Help us, Lord. help us. But at the end of the day, guys, yes, this one page business plan is like you have to focus on those particular areas. What's the problem? I'm just going down the line. What's the problem? What problem will your business solve? How will your business solve this problem? What's the solution to this problem? How's your business going to be the solution to the problem? What is the market that you who are your customers? What are the customers that you're trying to serve with this particular business? What will you charge? What's your pricing? Everybody's afraid to charge money because sometimes they don't feel like it works anything. But here's the thing: I was always told that if you don't think your product is worth it, then nobody else is going to think it's worth it either. People pay for what it is. Like Mama King, there's people out here. She charged a specific price. And people are going to pay that price because they want that VIP cooking, that only she can be able to produce.
Felicia sent us some pictures. You can't see them over there, but she sent us some pictures of her food. It looks amazing. I give her some props.
Oh, man, I got to see it.
She sent us some pictures in the thing.
Send me a sample.
Hold on, let me send my
You know, that's how black folks is. Now, when I look at the picture, send me a sample.
Right.
Give me a little taste.
Right. Tell
me the truth. A little dab of do. Just a little dab. You ain't got to. You just come. Matter of fact, bring it and then come and just hang out with me. And we're going to just go ahead and we're going to just eat.
Because if I eat it live, I won't say what it tastes like now.
Please just bring it. Because this is what we do, right? We advertise businesses and stuff. Come sit with your sister. Bring some food. And we can sit here and eat and talk about it and really get it going. You heard? So let's talk about these last two areas, guys, because I don't want to take up all your time. I appreciate everyone for just tuning in to Grindology, really supporting the show, because here's the thing, guys, we got to get these businesses out of here. We got to make these things work. We have to stop just talking about businesses and actually operating in them. We can't just sit here and just, look like we got something going on. Let's actually be what we are called to be. That's the whole purpose of Grindology, like really providing the type of information, the type of resources, and the type of teaching that we need for, people to get out here. And not just think that everything is so out of reach, and I think that was for me, it's never too late to start a business. It's never too late to get out here and get things cranking. You might think it's a million or two other people out here that do the same thing that you do, but they don't do it like you do. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it different. You got one person that got one talent, some that got 10 talents. And whatever you got, you work with that one that you have. You work with the gift that you're given. And you work it with the personality that only you got. So that's why we got to plan. I can't stress this enough, guys. You got to plan. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to this next area, which is real key. Because, we say, we said we got all these particular areas, now we're covering it. But I'm still concerned. What are you concerned about? Let's talk about that. Obstacles. What are your biggest challenges when it comes to starting this business? What are they? What are the biggest challenges? Is it starting? Is it, is it capital? Is it, not feeling like you're tech savvy enough to advertise and do the things that you need to do to put it out here on social media? What are the obstacles? What are your biggest challenges when it comes to starting this business? The reason why we have to ask this question about what are your biggest challenges so that you can be able to identify those things and prepare. You can't prepare for every challenge, but you can definitely prepare for the ones that you believe that are coming, as a result of you starting this business. For everybody, it's not just, restaurants, it's any business. When you have an investment, 9 times out of 10, you'll be good just breaking even the first year. Just making back what you put out. Just getting your money back with what you put in. And you know, you can file all your expenses on your taxes. You can take your loss. You can take those losses, but you can only take them for like 3 years. If you're not making no profit, if you're not making any profit, you only can do it for 3 years. Then they start identifying it as a hobby. So you got to find a way to you know make that happen. So it's like, what are your challenges? What are you afraid of? You know, because that's a challenge. You know, time is a challenge. Not having enough time to execute. That's one of the things we talked about in quite a few of the other shows. You know, Felicia, is that you feel like, you know, because I work this 9 to 5, I don't have any time. You know, what are your challenges when it comes to starting this business? And then the last area is success. Define what your successful business looks like. What does that look like? How do you know that at the end of all this, I am successful in starting and operating this business? Outside of, like, well, one of the biggest things is if I make money. If I'm making money and people are actually engaging with me and soliciting my services, then yeah, that might be what success looks like. But what does success look like to you? Because then that's when we're tapping into your vision.
Two things. See how close I am to this mic. Second thing, Felicia wanted to know, does your husband have his food sanitation certificate? Felicia, the answer would be yes. I asked him already.
Yes, he does.
All right.
He does have his food. I gotta put my chin around.
No, you gotta do that. Yeah, okay. What you just did. No, you
see that you heard the feedback.
Because you put your chin around.
But look at this. I'm like.
Just lift it. Just, there you go. Put it right there. I need it
wrapped in
right
now.
Right.
Like
in the ring to freestyle.
I need it right here.
If you get that rap mentality like you was when you used to buzz around a couple of weeks ago, you was right here.
Right.
I would go Dawes effects on people. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. But what define your success? What is a successful business, Felicia? What does your successful business look like? For me, it is seeing that as a result of my, you know, services, that people are effectively starting businesses. They are getting out here and starting businesses. That's what success looks like for me. When I start a nonprofit, I'm actually seeing the nonprofit that I, you know, help start actually bringing in revenue, actually supporting the community, actually doing what it is called to do. Like, that right there for me is success. Seeing you guys actually print this out, complete it, and then be able to have a basis at which you're communicating this. Like, this, I'm telling you, this is what my business is. I have my business name. My business is called Purposeful Catering. It solves this problem. It, you know, it serves this customer. It charges this much. It, you know, it costs this much to get started. It, you know, I advertise it on this, and this platform. And, and although it's operating excellently, the biggest challenge is this. But this is how I'm, you know, overcoming that particular challenge. And for me, success is everybody eating my food. Everybody's sourcing me out. Everybody's calling me. And everybody's giving great referrals. I like referrals. I like when people tell me that, you know, what I'm doing is good. And I like when people give me constructive criticism, because then that allows me as a business to be able to change what's necessary to make it more effective to the people that I am called to serve. So, I mean, like, guys, I hope this blessed you guys. Like, I really do. If, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be there, like, forever. Like, you know, so if you don't even look at it today and you go in a year from now, it's still going to be right there in your face. It's still, like, anytime you cross anything that's dealing with Grindo or Grindology, you're going to see this page and you're going to be like, I didn't do it. You better do it. And, I mean, it's just, it's liberating, guys. It helps you. It gives you a structure. It gives you a plan. It gives you the ability to be able to effectively communicate with the individuals that you are called to serve, the people that are out there that wants to give you money, and all they want to know is what you're doing. You know, they got it. It's in their pocket. Like, you got this wad this big in his pocket, and he just want to know, like, what do you do? And then that is the opportunity from him reaching in his pocket and giving you $100,000 right now to start your business. What are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? Oh, I got this business idea that's kind of like this with a little bit of this. It's like Brown's chicken mixed in with with Portillo, with, you know, I-57, with, you know, no, you have to know specifically who you're communicating with. You have to know specifically what your business is. Who is it called to serve? What issues is it resolving? You know, how are you, how are these services helping? You know, once you get that under your belt, the rest is just easy breezy. Just a little bit. But, guys, like, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to just reach out to us. You know, hit us up on TTLO Media Group. Hit us up on our inboxes, on the Grindle inbox. You know, Grindle Inc., I got to do all those little plugs. Go on to Grindle.co if you want the PDF form of this. Sign up because, you know, this is not the half of it. So much information that is going to be given, guys, in just a short amount of time. And, you know, time is valuable. Time is valuable. We don't have a lot of it. You don't know when's your day. But at least at the end of it, you can say that you've done what you were purposed to do on this earth. So, once again, I'm your girl. This is Lissette. This is Vinylology. We're going to get out here. Miss Felicia, I love you. I just love your support. Like, I love the fact that you have this, that you have a business that you're implementing. And, like, for me, I know it's going to be successful. I know it because you got people already asking about it. So, like, you know, we just got to get it. We got to get it. You know, we can't just sit here and do it. You have to advertise it. You got to come in and bring that food over here to the station so that we can get some food and parlay and eat good. And maybe I might fall asleep in this chair for about the next hour to see. But whatever. This is Grindology. I'm your girl, Lissette. It's been great. I'll catch you guys next Thursday, 7:00 p.m. Next Thursday, we're going to have young entrepreneurs on the show, guys. Young entrepreneurs, the babies, the ones that are, like, you know, just really out here doing their thing. And the mothers who support them. The mother who supports them. And, you know, I mean, we have to take care of our kids. We got to take care of our babies. We got to instill in them. So I'm going to interview some of the babies, and we're going to talk about what they're doing in their professional world, and we're going to kick it off on Grindology. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you later. Hey. So you be playing the right thing. Be doing your thing. Pass me that real deal.
That's a real deal, man.
Hey, I did it.
Yeah, we got